Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is online to us now. Fevzi, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Now, Fevzi, not because you suggested it or anything, but I know that you're always available to answer technical queries from listeners.
Yeah. I saw one on Twitter just a moment ago. I've just sent it through to you if you want to have a look at that. But
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Just literally came through on the old Twitter feed. So
all right. Well, I'll get Mark to send it to me, and because you see, we have a system where he sends it to me on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I don't think he's got it. I've sent it directly to you.
Oh, have you? What, yeah. What, did you send it on my email?
Yeah. Just
really?
Now. Yeah.
Hang on, wait a minute now. Ah, here we go. Oh, this is from Aid, regular listener. Hello, Aid. Well, let's deal with this now then.
Sure. Yeah.
You fancy doing that?
Yeah.
Aid wants to know. See, look at this for reaction. Lightning fast. Looking to buy the Aura Freeview. Looks good, but no matter what I do with aerial boosters, I keep losing reception and channels.
Yeah.
What's okay. That all about?
Right. So probably worth explaining the question first of all. So the Aura Freeview is a box from a company called Humax that make Freeview recording
recorders
boxes.
And stuff,
yeah, so
they?
It's got multiple Freeview receivers, so you can record multiple channels whilst watching others, and it records it onto a hard drive, and it's very good quality, and it's probably the best of its type. So that's, first of all, Aid, that's a great choice. Now, in terms of relying upon an indoor aerial, not all indoor aerials are the same, but they do all have fundamentally the same problem, which is that you can get an amplified indoor TV aerial or antenna, but the problem is it can amplify the noise as well as the signal. So if the signal to noise ratio, that's to say, you know, how strong the signal is compared to the background noise, if that's already low, you know, the background noise is relatively high, then amplifying it on its own is just going to amplify the problem, if you'll pardon the pun. So the best indoor aerials I have found and used are from a brand called One For All. There are others out there, but these ones I've had particularly good experiences with. One For All are probably best known for their all-in-one remote controls, hence the name One For All. You know, one remote controls all your devices. But they do a range, quite an extensive range of indoor aerials which are powered, and those are really good. If you don't get anywhere with one of those, if you were to buy one of those from somewhere where you might, say, get a 30-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked, if that doesn't do it for you, then I'm afraid you're looking at either an aerial in your loft or one on the roof, you know, depending on, you know, how your home is structured, because ultimately, you know, that's the issue. Alternatively, you go another route and you watch your television on an internet stream instead, which is the way things are going. But there is still, you know, Freeview is still there, and you know, when it works very well, and the advanced Freeview now built into these boxes means that you can do all the on-demand viewing that you want as well, and just download it to the hard disk and watch it when you like. So the Humax box, the Aura, AURA, is very good. But try one of the indoor aerials I've recommended, if not. And by the way, if you get an aerial fitted, budget to have it fitted professionally. Don't try and fit it yourself, because it's all in the installation, yeah? The orientation and the location and everything else. You want someone who knows what they're doing, with a good sort of field strength meter, and who can point it up well. Otherwise, you could buy an expensive aerial. I don't know if they still do it. John Lewis used to have a service, but also there's all the independents, you know.
Yeah, I mean, let's also be fair to the independents, because there are loads of them all over the place.
Yeah, especially these days. But
I used to have a huge rotatable aerial, and I could get all kinds of stuff from, in the days when ITV had regions, where I lived in Liverpool, I could get Yorkshire, Ulster, Wales, Midlands, everything. I was the only one watching Midlands television in Liverpool.
But you did live in a caravan in those days.
Yes, but first things first, Fevzi. Now listen, we've got tons to do, got to get through it. A couple of news stories from this week, technically. Yep. Shortage of chips reported this week in The Guardian. One effect of the shortage of chips, microchips, we're saying. According to The Guardian, Mini, the car maker, will lose 3 days of production at Oxford because of a shortage of computer chips. This is a global problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, even Apple, who's the biggest purchaser of silicon chips, is had to delay the launch of the iPhone 12 last year, earlier this week, or now last week, they launched the iPad Pros, and they only had enough for a few orders to be fulfilled quickly, and now they're delivering in June. if you order one now, you'll get an iPad Pro in June. And the reason for that is they can't get the components. And if Apple can't get the components, you know you're in real trouble. It's a perfect storm. A number of things happened. Production manufacturing output was hit by COVID, the actual ability to produce. Also, when COVID struck, a lot of manufacturers cut back their production because they thought that we were going to have, you know, global recessions, people going to lose their jobs, they're not going to be spending money on consumer electronics. In fact, at least in the short term, the opposite happened. People who are not able to go out and, you know, go on holidays or spend money in restaurants.
They started buying gear.
Yeah, started up. They made their homes home 2.0. You know, they upgraded their homes, bigger TV sets, better games consoles, gaming cards. You know, you're a better man than I if you can find a decent gaming card these days for, you know, your gaming computer. I mean, all of that demand shot up. Whether that will keep going in that way, it's hard to say. And also, of course, people started doing things like, you know, Zoom and all of that, and upgraded their systems for that, and bought decent webcams if you could find one. There was a global shortage of webcams, and still, you know, there are webcams now being sold for nearly £100, where the same model, when Amazon used to do a deal, I used to buy them for 30.
Gee. So yeah. When does it look like this may be resolved? Sounds like a long-term problem.
Yeah, there's quite long lead times on these things. So I think the problems will persist for, you know, another year. This might not quite be the worst of it, but I would hope in a few months' time it will start getting better. But it's going to be a patchy picture because the demand is fluctuating and hard to predict. I feel sorry for, you know, the chip manufacturers, because it's not easy to predict. You know, these are unprecedented circumstances.
Well, I love the way you said patchy picture. Okay, one more quick technical news story, then we'll do the gadgets. Why is Google, my friend Katie pointed this out to me earlier this week, why is Google now sending prompts to people with email accounts with them, asking for date of birth and I think other personal information? Why is that happening now?
Right. So this is not entirely new. People have differing experiences when they try and set up, say, a Gmail account or something else with Google or indeed others. It's not new for them to ask for date of birth information. There are minimum age rules for having a Gmail account in different countries, and therefore, if some flag goes off on their system that says that you might be underage, then they'll ask you to prove it. So in some cases, they just ask you to give a date of birth, and that's sufficient, in which case you could, you know, even assuming one is overage, one could make up a date of birth to protect one's privacy.
Not that one would do that.
Yeah, okay, not that one would do that.
I'll go with that.
But sometimes that's not sufficient, and in some cases they ask you to provide a piece of formal ID, or even put a £1 transaction through a credit card in your name, and then you get it back, you know. So it differs a bit, and I've noticed that even sometimes when you get asked for it, when you try and set it up one way, when you go at it a different way, like a different device or through an app, or, you know, just you know, do a little bit of research, sometimes it doesn't ask you for it when it's been insisting on it on another platform. So Google are kind of a bit all over the place on this, frankly, as are most of these people. I would say, unless, you know, I mean, look, let me put it this way. Unless you're going to do something like a purchase or something where, you know, your date of birth is key, you know, you're buying something that where you have to be over 18 or something like that, then generally, if you're over 18 and you want to protect your privacy, it's not inconceivable that some people would slightly modify their date of birth and just make a note of that somewhere so that they can quote it back if necessary. Because the problem is that, you know, all servers get hacked at some point, including Google's.
Exactly.
And do you really want your real date of birth to be part of that information? Because it's not a password that you can change. You're stuck with your date of birth. Yeah. Mm.
And it's, you know, if somebody's putting together a kit of parts that identifies you, the date of birth is a key one. Okay, gadgets then, Febzy. We've got two gadgets, 2 minutes each. Your starter for 10. Skull Candy Hesh ANC wireless noise cancelling over-the-ear headphones. They appear to be the headphones that do everything.
Yeah, when they said ANC, I thought African National Congress, but that's probably just my age.
Automatic noise cancelling, I bet.
Yeah, it is. So both of the gadgets this week are gadgets that I found that have been really good value for money, good sound quality. They're both audio gadgets, good sound quality, and particularly for the price, but even without taking the price into account. So this is from a brand called Skull Candy. It's got pictures of skulls on it, very, very hip and chic. The model is called Hesh, and ANC, active noise cancelling, wireless headphones, over-the-ear design. So they're not like a little in-the-ear type. They actually sit over the ear. But that's not just how, why they're sound cancelling. They've got four microphones in them that listen to the external noise and use some very clever electronics to cancel out the noise. But when you need to hear the outside world, you can push a button and you can hear for the moment, and then you know, go back to noise cancelling. 22 hours of battery life per charge. I really like the fact that when they die, you can charge it for 10 minutes and get another 3 hours out of it with 10 minutes. It comes with a charging cable, which is USB-C, which is the modern type, so it's nice to see. Also, something unique about it, you don't see this in many pairs of headphones. You remember last week we talked about Tile, those little Tile trackers that you can use to attach to things like your car keys and so forth. This has got a Tile circuit built into it. So you can actually download the Tile app, and then if these go missing, you can find them either around your house, or if it's near, if you've lost it in a building and another Tile user goes by, you can actually locate it. Now, considering that those Tile units cost between £25 and £50 just on their own, to the fact that this pair of headphones is currently on offer for £99.
It's a bit of bonus functionality. Yeah, what are they called again?
They're called Skullcandy Hesh, H-E-S-H, ANC Wireless Noise Cancelling Over the Ear Headphones. Four stars out of five. You can take phone calls on them. There's controls for that, that you can skip tracks and do the volume as well. Oh, and they collapse down.
So okay, I know how they feel. 1 minute we have for some Bluetooth speakers.
Okay, so this is the Jam brand, as in J-A-M. They're Bluetooth bookshelf speakers. They're small speakers. They weigh about 4 kilos each. They're only £80 or £79. They've got Bluetooth 5, so you can stream to them from your phone or your tablet or your computer. And Bluetooth 5 means better range, better quality. But also they've got RCA connectors, phono connectors, and auxiliary.
So you can do standard line.
And they're powered speakers, yeah. So and they are, you know, £79.99. Very good sound quality. Will fill an average room with sound, but also just a bargain at that money. But when I say bargain, they still sound good.
Right, I could do with a pair of them as monitors.
Also, four stars out of five. Yeah, no, very good they are.
And they're called again?
I just put it away.
Jam.
Bluetooth bookshelf speakers available in a choice of colours.
Nice one, Fevzy. And if anybody wants to contact you directly, and like Aid did, ask you a technical question that you will have a perfect solution for, where do they go?
Yeah, Twitter, @GadgetDetective. Come with your questions. I will do my best.
Fevzy, thanks very much for helping me again. Have a good weekend, Fevzy. Cheers. Take care. Good night. Fevzy Turkup is the definitive gadget detective. Check him out online. You heard him say where you can get him, and he will answer your technical questions for you if he is humanly possible. If it is humanly possible, I think is probably the way to put it.